Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I just went up to bat and tried not to make the moment too big and trusted the approach that the coaches gave me, and I got the pitch that I wanted and was able to hit over the wall. So, you know, just be grateful for that. And then obviously we had the momentum carry out through the rest of the game. They took the lead at one point, but, you know, we never feel like we're really out, and we kind of just kept going and pursuing, and we ended up with the W.
Did you know how far it went?
Somebody told me in the dugout, and I didn't believe them, but, you know, when you hit it, you just kind of, like, black out. Like, I didn't know how hard to hit it, whatever. I just knew it was enough to go over the wall. Fans, we kind of feed off of them. Coach Oz tells us to be entertainers. So, trying to entertain the crowd as well, and then the energy they bring kind of, I mean, it uplifts us and then kind of messes with them. I had multiple guys while I was on base said, this place is sick, you know, just how much people care and how much they love the sport. So it's awesome, the crowd that we bring. And even on when we don't play teams like that, you know, the rivalry, even when we play teams like, you know, when we're going to play UNA this weekend, they're going to be a good ball club, but not many people know who they are. But they're still going to bring the crowd, and it's going to be awesome.
Mindset of the team right now has to be pretty good.
It is. You know, we just kind of not trying to make any moment too big, just trying to keep on going. We know we're a really good team and we can compete with anybody, so we're just trying to play good enough to win ball games.
Dre Barrett leads the Golden Eagles to an exhilarating 7-6 win last night over fourth-ranked Mississippi State before 5,700 rowdy Southern Miss fans. Barrett with a three-run home run, another double. Golden Eagles win an exhilarating contest, as we said. Travis Creel joins us every Wednesday, and Coach, put into words the atmosphere last night, everything that all of us witnessed at the Peak.
Electric would be the word. It was awesome, and, you know, kind of expected. Just what our fans do. And then, obviously, you know, them being ranked so high and coming off a really good weekend in Arlington, a huge game, you know, probably the biggest midweek game we've had and probably the biggest one in the country. So it was electric for sure.
Well, before we get to the game, I do have a question that got on my mind last night. I've been anxious to ask you. As a coach, do you enjoy coaching a game like the one last night more, or one like Saturday when your team dominates from the opening pitch to the last pitch?
Well, when it's over, you know, I'll take the one last night.
Great answer.
But as it's going on, that one Saturday was pretty fun, I got to admit.
Right. And if Southern Miss would have lost last night, his answer might have flipped, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, he liked Saturday's game.
Yeah. Well, Travis, it was another heavyweight battle between two great college baseball teams. What do you take away from your guys more than anything else from that game last night?
You know, it's kind of just what we've done all year, is just the steadiness, right? I mean, we jump on them. You know, we've played in games where we're down big, down early. Then last night we're up big, up early, and they come back and take the lead. And, again, there's just no panic. This group's so calm. They're so confident. And it's not a cockiness. It's just, okay, they took the lead. We're going to score. You know, it's just a good feeling that there's just no panic. And, you know, it just kind of shows what kind of leadership we have and the kind of team we have. So super proud. That's a really good team we beat last night. And what a great game.
Travis, I think one of the biggest moments in the game that you could kind of see the contrast between what you're talking about and maybe Mississippi State. Obviously, they have a lot of transfers. They're trying to gel together still as a team early in the season. Urban hits that pop fly to shortstop. Higdon's on first, and he sprints the whole way. He never slows down and ends up scoring because the shortstop misjudged the ball. A couple innings later, Mississippi State was at bat. I can't remember which batter it was, but it looked like a home run off the bat. It kind of died in front of the wall. I think their batter thought it was a home run. He starts slow jogging around first, and you guys ended up throwing him out at second. Sometimes it's those little tiny things that decide magnitude games like the ones last night.
No, 100%. And, you know, I actually I didn't see the guy get out of the box, but I heard it was pretty slow. But, yeah, you know, it kind of goes back to kind of our mantra, everything matters. We're going to do everything the right way. We're going to play the game the right way. And Coach Barry used to say all the time, you know, they may drop the pop-up 1 out of 1,000 times, but that 1 out of 1,000, we need to be in the right spot. And credit to Hig for just playing the game the right way. And, you know, that turned out to be the game-winning run.
Can't really talk about this game without talking about this rowdy atmosphere last night, Travis. And, you know, I was telling Demo before the game, where I sit, you really can't see down the first baseline. But when I got on the field last night to do the post-game stuff, you look down that first baseline, and it was a literal sea of gold. It's just quite impressive. And I saw this morning where the MSU coach said, you can't come to a great stadium like this and play a great team and get behind early. The atmosphere really helps propel this baseball team, doesn't it?
Sure, you know, absolutely. Pete Taylor, magic's real. But yeah, I mean, they opened the gates at 4 for a 6 o'clock game, and I bet there was, you know, a really, really long line about 2 o'clock for people waiting to run in and then get their seats in the 16-ounce lounge. So, yeah, that was about as packed as it gets. I don't think you could fit many more bodies out there. So that was definitely a regional, super regional type atmosphere.
Travis, it was pretty cool to see Seth Smith get his first career homer last night. Obviously, a guy for you guys who has just really come along over the last couple of weeks batting in the 400s. But to get a, you know, first solo homer was pretty cool. I mean, he said he was just praying it didn't go foul.
Yeah, you know, I'm so proud of Seth and how far he's come, how much he's worked, and then obviously not even playing, you know, the first almost 35 innings of the season. And just to stay patient and keep working. And, you know, it happens every year where you know, Joey Urban didn't start until maybe the fourth game last year, or maybe fifth game, where, you know, you have depth. Sometimes that happens. But when you get in there, you got to make your moment count. And Seth's definitely done that so far.
I tell you, another kid's really stepped up, I believe, over the last couple of weeks is Barrett, Dre Barrett. And he's a young player, too, Travis. And, man, he's got power. He plays third base. He's just the real deal and has been since he got here, hasn't he?
Yeah, the ceiling for him is off the charts. I mean, he could play this game for a really, really long time. Dre kind of, you know, and he'll admit this to you, sometimes he wants it so bad, and he does a little too much at times where, you know, he swings that bat about 110% instead of 100. And when he tones it down and really trusts his approach, he's as good as anybody in our lineup.
Yeah. Bull struggling a little bit, but he did come up with a big single late in the game, which proved to be valuable. But what happens, Travis, with kids when they go in and out of slumps? Is there a tangible thing that you can, as a hitting coach, can put your finger on?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there is. Sometimes it's more mental. You know, with Bull, a lot of times when you start off a little slow, the mental side can change your physical side, right? Like you start doubting yourself a little bit. You start doubting some stuff. You start, what we call it, cheating to the heater, which makes you more susceptible to off-speed pitches and things like that. But, you know, he's a very humble, confident kid. He works his tail off. He was up here swinging it about an hour and a half ago and looks great. And, you know, all the confidence in the world. And you're right. I mean, it's kind of awesome if you think about it, that the start we're off to with maybe not, you know, our three-hole hitter going as good as he can.
Yeah. Well, tell you what kind of kid he is. After the game last night, he's got a rake, and he's out there raking the infield.
That's right. It's their job. They know it. Everything matters. We do our job.
Travis, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that that we haven't seen everything possible from this lineup so far this season that they can accomplish, but you guys are still 11-1. I mean, how exciting, I guess, is that for you as the hitting coach?
Yeah, very exciting. You know, and a lot of that, I mean, not trying to put anybody on pedestal, but I'd love to know if anybody faced better arms than us so far.
Right, right.
You know, 12 games in.
Sure.
So, you know, I think this is going to pay dividends down the road of facing this kind of stuff. Mississippi State's pitching staff is electric. I mean, they're gonna be up there in almost every category, and obviously Santa Barbara, Oregon State, Alabama, you go on and on. But I do think it's going to pay dividends when we face you know, our tough conference opponents to know that, hey, we've hit some good arms and we've had success, and you know, it can boost us going forward.
Another game tonight, kind of a rare midweek Wednesday night. We're going to talk about the opponent tonight when we come back, Travis. But how do you get ready for two midweek games, first time in the year? Did you guys hold some pitchers back last night that maybe normally would have gotten a little time last night?
Yeah, I mean, Crabtree, obviously, getting the start tonight. He definitely could have pitched yesterday. We have a lot of confidence in him. You know, Sundstrom threw a lot on Sunday, but he was available last night, and we didn't have to throw him last night as well. So those two guys for sure. And then, you know, we have some capable arms who haven't thrown that much yet too. So mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll see a healthy amount of arms.
You still have about 38 freshman pitchers you can throw. Is that not right?
The clone army.
You almost seen them all, I think.
We'll be talking to Travis Creel on a Wednesday. Great game last night at Pete Taylor Park. We're so lucky to be able to access collegiate athletics like we saw last night. Going to continue our conversation with Coach Creel. Another game tonight, Nicholls State. We'll see what he says about them coming up. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, today's show, as always, coming to you from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Bob and Dima in the studio today. That first segment was sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. This segment by Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West. Goodyear Tires, full service for your truck or your car. Big Southern Miss guys out there. Family owned since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, really happy to have them part of the Eagle Hour, and hope that you'll do business with them because they do support Southern Miss baseball. Travis Creel's with us on the show every Wednesday. All right, Coach, as much as we'd like to talk about the game last night forever, there's another one tonight, and it's Nicholls State. What do you know about Nicholls State? And I guess the obvious question is, after an emotional night like last night and so much excitement in the air, your guys have got to, you know, put that on the shelf and get ready to go here in about 5 hours.
Yeah, 100%. Yes, I think it's definitely, you know, human nature to kind of let your mind breathe a little bit. But that's not the case with this team. You know, we feel confident that they're going to show up every day, and you know, we trust them as a whole group that knows that every game is very important in college baseball. And, you know, if you look across the country at midweeks, especially, I mean, anybody can beat anybody, right? I mean, LSU's lost to two really small schools. Right. And you can do that with all over the country. So you got to show up ready to play. They're Division I baseball players. They're well coached. You know, they've been us the last 2 years. So, when you come out ready to play.
Yeah, they beat Tulane last night.
Too, and McNeese is the team that LSU lost to a week or so ago. And this Nicholls team beat McNeese over the weekend, by the way. So, the Colonels always pose a threat. And like you said, Travis, they beat them at two years in a row down there in Biloxi. But Crabtree announced going tonight. Would think it would be – you'd kind of hopefully ride him as long as possible, Travis?
Yeah, I think that's the play. Hopefully he can get us, you know, into the fourth or fifth in a perfect world. And then I think we'll have enough pieces where we can kind of piece together those last four or five. Even a couple guys yesterday can probably bounce back that threw a few amount of pitches. So I think we're in a good spot.
So it shouldn't expect to see a one-inning approach like last night, correct?
No, I wouldn't think that's the case.
You know, isn't that difficult on a team, though, when you pitch like you did last night? Because your batting lineup is never able to settle in against one pitcher. So isn't there some advantage to that, Coach?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, especially, facing – I guess someone's trying to run out a midweek starter to get five innings. You know, usually by that second time through the lineup, you feel pretty good about that bat you're about to have. So, I thought Mississippi State handled their bullpen last night really well too, where after that first guy, nobody saw the same pitcher twice, and obviously they run out good stuff. But yeah, you know, and it helps when you're deep because we're running out nine guys, but we're running out nine pretty good ones, which obviously is a plus.
Yeah, is this the deepest? And I do realize it's early in the year, but is this the deepest bullpen we've seen, Travis?
You know, I think time will tell. There's definitely capabilities of that. You know, a lot of the guys are young and growing up quick. It's definitely the deepest one we've had, you know, since 22. There's no doubt about that from a depth standpoint. But, yeah, you know, we really like where we're at. These guys got to keep growing, you know, getting out there in big moments, these freshmen, and just performing is awesome. And just getting their feet wet. And, you know, hopefully when conference play comes, they can – some real meaningful innings on the weekend as well.
Yeah, offensively, one thing I've really seen with this team to this point of the year is how effective they are with two strikes when they're at the plate and with two outs. I mean, you guys get a lot of hits with two strikes and two outs, and that's not a coincidence, correct? You've worked to that end.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's a big factor of how we go about our practice, how we go about our days. And you're right, in Louisiana Tech, we scored 25 runs, and a lot of them with two outs. You know, I know five and one inning with two outs on Saturday. And, you know, it helps whenever guys come to the yard, right? I mean, you get a couple guys on in a three-run homer like Dre did last night. You know, one through nine, you know, we feel like we're big guys who get the ball over the wall. So, never out of the fight. Inning's never over. And, yeah, just stringing together good at-bats. And I thought last night against a really, really good staff, you know, I was proud of the guys.
Travis, I mean, what can you tell us about Tucker Stockman and, you know, the ability that he has to move the baseball at certain points for you guys? Obviously, not, you know, struggled a little bit last night, but, you know, he's still such a valuable piece for you all down in that lineup.
Oh, 100%. He's a threat down there. He can do it all. He can get bunts down. He can hit a run. He can hit homers. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, and Tucker will tell you this too, he's not quite going like he can go.
Right.
So that's comforting to know there's more in the tank. But yeah, when he's in there in your 7-8 hole, you know, that's deep. So, he's a huge piece of it, but you know, I think 1 through 9, you know, right now it's just all kind of gelling together. And I really like our at-bats.
And I feel like once Stelly starts getting some hits, you know, he's going to be a really big piece for y'all. You know, he shows the flash and just sometimes the ball bounces, doesn't bounce his way, but he's still, you know, hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, it's in there for sure. And then he got the bloop single last night.
Yep.
Maybe that'll get him going. Sometimes that's all you need is to see one find a hole. But you're right. I mean, he'll show flashes and, you know, coming off his surgery,
right.
The bat speed is getting better and better. So I definitely think, you know, down the stretch, you know, he can be a significant factor in this lineup, but definitely in the tank.
I've never met a coach that's ever 100% satisfied with how their team is doing. Offensively, are there still areas that you want to see your guys improve, Travis? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, I think the main thing for us, and we talked about this weekend, is the guys with the riding fastballs, the guys, and again, not to nerd out or on analytics, but the guys that could really do the induced vertical break, and it's the high fastball that the hitters look like, you know, it's going to be a strike. You know, we're still kind of probably swinging at too many of those, and we're really good at that in the fall, and or even in the early spring. And if anything, it's probably that, which, you know, obviously we're gonna be working on these next couple of days.
And I think I remembered you said this last week, and I saw it, I think, again last night. There's really never going to be a day that Oz just takes a big, deep breath and says, man, we are really, really good, is there?
No, it's never going to happen, I assure you.
No, he didn't really appear real thrilled last night. I mean, I know he was very happy with the way his team played, but he remains pretty stoic. And I gather we can expect that all through the year, right?
Yes, sir, 100%. I think you can expect that with the team as well. We got a good old batch of leaders. They're not going to get too high after a win, not too low after a loss. We're not going to go undefeated the rest of the year.
I'm not so sure.
Stay in the middle of the fight.
I'm not so sure about that. You're on pace now to go 44-4, Travis. So I'll just throw that out there.
Oz is still thinking about the four walks that his freshman gave up against Mississippi State last night. You know, he went to bed just crying about those.
How about Armistead coming in?
Yes,
back-to-back
that was
games.
Such a big game moment.
Runners at third, nobody out, and getting out of it, man. He's been huge.
And man, Littleton, he has potential, Travis, to be like just tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, it's real stuff. I think he tested 96.7 last night. He's a big dude. It's a really good slider. It's in there. It's in the tank. And if he keeps progressing and growing, you know, the sky is the limit for him.
That state batter thought that ball's going to hit him, and then it landed in the middle of the
zone. That was hilarious. And when it hit the catcher's mitt, he just shook his head like, yep, that's went right back across the plate, didn't it?
And that guy's going to be a top 10 pick, by the way.
I agree.
Well, and I know you know this. No one knows this new coach at Mississippi State, but his postgame comments I thought were very classy, and he complimented the greatness of the stadium and the greatness of the team, the Southern Miss team. And I'm sure you agree with us. We're all really happy that that there's been a home-and-home worked out with Mississippi State.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And, yeah, Coach O'Connor, obviously a ton of respect for him. I've never met him until last night, but seems like a very down-to-earth, you know, humble guy, and it was very complimentary. So, a home-and-home with him is something that needs to keep happening, and I think it will.
All right. Great fun last night. We really appreciate chatting with you every Wednesday, and look forward to seeing you at the Pete tonight, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Coach Travis Creel. He sounds pretty happy today.
Yeah. No, it was obviously just a tremendous win and a great atmosphere last night. And you know, when you look at the numbers for Southern Miss, I mean, they really didn't even play their best game. You know, only 7 hits. They were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. So, it's, you know, 7 runs, you know, 2 of those were kind of, you know, bloop singles and stuff. So, you know, you're kind of like you didn't even play your best game and you still beat the number 4 team in the country. And that just is so encouraging. And that's what I was trying to tell, you know, get at there where, you know, Russo's kind of struggling right now. Stockman, you haven't seen what he can do. Stelly hasn't done what he's been able to do. If all 3 of those guys come along, I mean, I just don't know how you beat this team.
And 11-1 playing the toughest schedule in the country to this point of the year.
It's incredible.
I think they deserve a little bit of a break this weekend, don't you?
Yeah. And obviously, Oz wouldn't call it a break. He thinks that these guys tonight are just as good as Mississippi State.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, DBAT sponsors the third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour every day. They're on Hardy Street. You know where they are. Great state-of-the-art facility down there for baseball, softball, and all sorts of adult training for athletics. Check them out, DBAT. Fortunate to have such a great facility here in town. Forest Healthcare, and we want to remind you that the CEO of Forest Health is joining us Friday on the show, and Jeff Cook was a great, great Southern Miss baseball player, so we look forward to getting his take on this exciting start to the 2026 season. Forest Health reminds you that it is fun keeping up with your team, but you're the most important player, so you be sure you get an annual physical. Make sure your health is as good as it can be, and Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube, or YouTube, and Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Got to get back to baseball for just a minute. One kid that's been a new addition, and before we run this piece from him after the game last night, kind of laid the groundwork a little bit, Dima, for Camden Clark and what a pedigree he brought and how effective he has really been so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he came in and some wondered if he was going to be the closer type role that Colby was last season, which it ended up being. That's exactly what he was going to do, is come in and within the eighth or ninth inning and kind of shut things down for the Southern Miss so far. And he's been able to do that, you know, with the way he's pitching and that fastball. And if he can work in that slider that he showed last night, I mean, he's going to be a real tough out for opposing batters. No earned runs yet for him so far this season.
Closed out the game last night. Here's what he said afterwards.
When your song's playing, you got everybody up there standing up cheering behind you. You feel like you can beat anybody at the time. I mean, knowing I was going against the heart of their order, I mean, that's something I have to do deeper in the season if we get to where we want to get to. So it was just fun to go ahead and experience that a little bit.
You guys played a really difficult schedule. Where did this team you play tonight stack up with the other teams you've looked at?
I mean, they're definitely probably the best one we've played so far. We played a lot of talented teams so far, UC Santa Barbara, Alabama, all them. But, I mean, they're ranked up there for a reason. They're gonna come out and compete against you every time they play you. They didn't give up that game, so we had to keep fighting. It just shows who they are.
What was that final pitch you threw? Is that the slider, cutter?
I kind of throw like a cutter, but it's more of a slider. Something me and Coach Leje have been talking about. Just started throwing it, so.
11 straight wins now. I mean, what do you think is working for this team right now?
I mean, we're firing on all cylinders. I mean, we're hitting it. We're hitting really good pitching like tonight. We have arms stepping up in the bullpen. We have our guys going 7, 8, 9 from the bullpen. Everybody's on point right now. So I think really all of it's clicking right now, especially the freshmen that have to show up and kind of earn their spot. They're doing what they need to do.
And your play, you've all gotten off to a great start. How do you feel about the way you're performing?
It's awesome. I mean, it's something I could sit here and talk about all day, but in reality, I got to keep doing what I'm doing. I can't really get too high or too low, but it's a great feeling what I've done so far.
Kevin Clark closed it out again last night. Like you said, he hadn't given up a run, has he?
No, and an earned run yet. And he came in there facing the heart of Mississippi State's order. It was exactly what you wanted to see. It was Camden Clark versus Ace Reese, Stallman, you know, all the players that Mississippi State has in that heart of the order. And he went fly out to deep right field and then pop out to third base. And then obviously the strikeout, he gave up a walk, but then the strikeout. Mm-hmm. So actually the tying run got to first base for the Bulldogs. But, man, I mean, it's just another pitcher that they throw in there, and he's lights out. And like we were asking Travis, I mean, when you have that many arms, you have the ability. For example, like Sam Mitchell last night, he gave up a walk and then, you know, the double that put runners at the corners with no outs for the Bulldogs. Last year, Sam Mitchell probably stays in, right? Like they didn't have the luxury of – but you know what Oz said? He said, no, he went out there, he went and got him, he put in J.W. Armistead, strikeout, pop out, and no runs. So it's just that ability of even if – and Sam Mitchell's still a great pitcher. It wasn't anything against him. Right. Some people just barrel up your baseball sometimes.
I thought that was a real important moment in the
ballgame. It was, but my point is, in saying that, is they have so much talent in the bullpen that even if one guy has two bad pitches – they have the luxury of going out there and putting someone else in. I don't think anybody in the country has that ability that you know that you can pull someone out and put someone in who inherits runners at the corners with no outs against the number four, with being the number four team in the country, and he just comes in and strikeout, pop out. Yeah. Like it was nothing.
How many times this year, Dima, have you seen that very scenario where the opposition gets a couple guys on base with no outs or one out? They bring in a reliever and they shut them down. They do not score a run.
It's happened several times, and again, that's my point. Is I don't think we've seen great bullpens in the past where you're deep and you have guys who can throw hard and all these things, but I don't know if you've had this many high leverage situations where you bring in a guy and he just doesn't give up anything. Because normally you're thinking, okay, sack fly here, that's one out, and then, you know, get a strikeout, maybe a double play. You're giving up a run, right? But no, it's strikeout, pop out, and like it was nothing. And so, and of course, that was J.W. Armistead. So it's an embarrassment of riches. And now you have a starter-like figure on your second midweek of the game, of the week, in Thomas Crabtree, who, like Travis Creel said, they're going to ride him as long as he can go tonight.
Pitch for Tennessee.
Right. It's an impressive bullpen. And, you know, you would hope that everybody can stay healthy. And you would think that these freshman arms are only going to get better as the season goes along.
I want to ask you about the Parker kid from down in Purvis. Obviously, his brother is a first-round draft choice, yeah. And this kid elects to go to state. And they started him last night. He did not have a good night. He was not productive at all. Maybe a lot of pressure to put a freshman under to be in your hometown, basically, in front of that rabid crowd last night against such a good baseball team.
Yeah, no, and you know, Jacob Parker, he has a bright future. He's a really good baseball player. You know, and I think, you know, I was talking to some of the Mississippi State writers, and they think that he might be potentially the best bat in the lineup if he can just kind of figure out the collegiate thing. So I think it's actually good for him to be in that environment and feel that. He also started on Sunday against number one UCLA for the Bulldogs. So they're putting him in there. And then you also saw the pitcher at the very end, Maddox Miller, coming in for state. He actually earned the loss, which was the two strikeout pass balls. But he comes in. He's a freshman from Oak Grove. And, you know, who went to Mississippi State. He was pitching at Oak Grove last year. He comes in high leverage situation in the seventh against Southern Miss in a top 10 matchup. So just like Southern Miss was throwing a lot of freshmen, there was a lot of young arms for state last night as well who got in there. And like you said, Parker as well. So that's kind of what the midweeks are. You know, you're going to have some of these younger players and so on and so forth have to come up big in big moments, and you would argue that Southern Miss's freshman came up bigger than State's freshman did.
I know you were on a Mississippi State podcast earlier this week, and one of the hosts said that this would be a bigger game for USM, and that they were, because they were quote unquote playing up.
Yeah,
I understand he was there last night. Did he enjoy watching the Eagles play up?
Well, he's a great guy, number one. I mean, I'm friends with him, and I don't want to, you know, be mean to him or anything, but I did disagree with that statement, and you know, it just didn't make sense. You know, I think he's right in almost every other category that Southern Miss plays in sports, but not in this. I mean, last night, you cannot leave that game saying that Southern Miss is playing up. I mean, you just can't. Southern Miss proved last night that they might be one of the best teams in the country, let alone top 10, right? Mm-hmm. So, and really, you think about, we go back to Bruce Littleton. If he gets that strikeout there that was, by the way, on TrackMan, 100% a strikeout on a 3-2 pitch before, and they gave the kid
call.
It was like almost down the middle and on TrackMan, a little bit to the right of the plate, but it was definitely in the zone. If they don't get that, Southern Miss, I mean, we're talking about a 5-0 lead into the seventh, because that gave State three runs right there.
Well, my final thought about the game last night, I want to get your input on this. It's just I sat there watching it, and it just made me proud of the level of college baseball that we have witnessed in the state of Mississippi. It was on display again last night. And, Dima, I dare say there are very few parts of America that you could go to on a Tuesday night and see that kind of baseball game in that kind of atmosphere. Maybe on one hand you could count them.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I think Oregon State was playing Oregon last night in Eugene or Corvallis or wherever they were playing. And there was, like, some highlight videos on Twitter. And, you know, it was a nice crowd, but it wasn't anything like what we saw, you know, last night. And that's an in-state rivalry between Oregon State and Oregon. But, like, that was just unbelievable. If you're reading Twitter, you know, you're seeing all these national people saying, oh wow, what a pitch. Or, well, you know, everybody was watching that game last night because of how the stakes and everything like that. So you know, it was great for the state, and again, it really doesn't matter to either team. Like, State isn't going to be hurt by losing that game. And Southern Miss, you know, if they would have lost, it wouldn't have hurt their resume. But yeah.
I had someone tell me last night that witnessing on television was very impressive. That the Pete looked really, really loud and impressive last night.
Witnessing it in person was pretty awesome, too.
It was pretty incredible. Yeah. Wasn't it? All right, basketball, both teams on the road. And
we'll update the bracket.
Yeah, we'll talk a little basketball when we come back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to welcome Jewel Masters to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They sponsor the fourth segment of our show these days, Marty and Cindy Vick. Look, if you've got gold, you got coins, you got silver, you want to get top dollar, a quick appraisal, you want it to be confidential, easy, and you know you're going to walk away the same day with your money with the best price you're going to get on gold or silver and good jewelry anywhere in the Pine Belt, Jewel Masters. They're right across the street from Academy Sports on Highway 98 West, and we welcome them, of course, to the Super Talk Eagle Hour family. And want to say hello to our good buddies at MCS Home Center. Saw Hank Lott last night. He's out there cheering for the Golden Eagles. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction. You know, MCS Home Center, they got it all. They're located on Highway 98 West. They're local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West, to be precise. Finally, want to say thanks and hello to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Their showroom is on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And Mo'Bay Beignet Company down in Midtown, where you can go get some delicious beignets, hot, cold coffees, cold drinks. Always cooked to order when you arrive, and it's always delicious. Mo'Bay Beignet, 2902 Hardy Street. All right, Jay Ladner is going to be joining us tomorrow as the men and women are both down in Pensacola getting ready for the Sun Belt basketball tournament. Let's look at that bracket, Damon.
Yeah, so Southern Miss men's basketball is the 8th seed in the Sun Belt tournament, so they're going to go off tomorrow at 5. They will play the winner of James Madison and Louisiana, who go off at 5 p.m. today. So the winner of that game will play Southern Miss. Southern Miss has beaten both those squads. So they beat Louisiana twice, and they beat James Madison once. James Madison, arguably right now the hottest team in the Sun Belt. Since that loss to Southern Miss, then they went and lost to Louisiana. So since those two losses, they have rattled off 7 wins in a row until the regular season finale against Coastal, where they lost by 1 point. So arguably with the hottest team in the Sun Belt, but Southern Miss has shown that they can beat them. And then, but if you're a Southern Miss fan, I think you're rooting on Louisiana to win that game today because you handled them pretty well both times you played them. So that's the scenario. And then if Southern Miss wins tomorrow, they play Friday, and they would play Texas State at 5 p.m. on Friday night to try to get themselves into the quarterfinal game, which would be on Saturday.
Well, I think you got to remember this. I think the men have shown down the stretch they beat two of the very best teams in the league.
Yep.
So they go in and play their game. I think they can win some games out there, dude.
I agree. I do agree. All right, so the women are the 7 seed. They're going to go off tomorrow at 2, so right after you listen to the show, you can go and watch women's basketball tomorrow. They're going to play the winner of ULM and Louisiana, which they just beat ULM, by the way, on Friday night to clinch or to end the regular season. And then they've beaten Louisiana both times they played them. They've actually beat them pretty handily both times they played them. So you like your chances there as a women's basketball team. Again, you would kind of root for Louisiana to win that game. Now, Louisiana is probably one of the more weaker teams in the league, but they did beat Georgia State in the opening round. So they did get a win. So it's a chance you could play them, which if they do get to play them, they just beat them by 25 last week. So you would like to play them. If Southern Miss were to win that game tomorrow afternoon, then they would play Friday against Old Dominion, who Old Dominion is one of their only conference road wins. So you have a chance to beat Old Dominion, and then you would get into the quarterfinals against, and your road would get a lot tougher. You'd have to play Arkansas State on Saturday if you were to make it that far. But like I, you know, documented earlier last or late last week, you kind of like the bracket set up for both men's and women's teams. If you had to draw it out, this is the teams you'd rather play, I think. Yeah,
I think they both have a chance to win some games.
I agree. I do
now
agree.
If we could only move the baseball tournament to Pensacola. But you really love Montgomery, don't you?
No, I really enjoy
Montgomery.
I do
a lot,
not.
Don't
the only
you?
Thing with Pensacola is, you know, since there's not a school there that's in the league, you know, if you're paying taxes to Florida, that's not really benefiting.
How about Biloxi?
Biloxi would be fine with me. I also thought about Atlanta. I think Atlanta would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a little bit more privy to the East teams, of course, but I think Atlanta would be interesting because maybe you could get
at the Georgia State Park. Is that what you're saying?
I was going to say you could maybe find a weekend where or you know schedule it with the Braves and, mm-hmm. and maybe when they're not in town and mm-hmm. then play in that park, which would be cool, but that's probably me just dreaming. But yeah, I mean, I guess Montgomery is what it is. Until the problem is that they just don't have people that come to the baseball games,
right?
So you got to find somewhere where people at least enjoy going.
Yeah, you know, I've always heard that some coaches don't want the games in Biloxi because they think it's an advantage for Southern Miss. But I would point out that Troy is like 50 miles from Montgomery. They don't bring anybody. Southern Miss has more people in Montgomery than Troy does every year, so I don't really think that should be a factor. And I got to tell you, when a Conference USA used to play their tournament in Biloxi, it was just the perfect venue. It was perfect.
Yeah, no, it's a great venue. And like I said, it's a lot easier to sell Biloxi to like fans because you can go and, you know, sit on the beach or, you know, go to the various bars and stuff on the beach.
Right.
You know, Montgomery, like, you kind of go to the game and then kind of go back to the hotel. You know, there's not really much to do, right? And so
especially at night.
Yeah.
You go back to the hotel.
I don't go out at night.
No. All right, Nickel State tonight. Give me an observation. Give me a pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not picking against Southern Miss anytime soon. You know, this team is just different. Now, you know, you can make an argument that there's going to be some kind of hangover, which I think there will be. You'll probably start off slow first few innings, but that, I don't. What are you going to do? I mean, this is too good of a team.
Absolutely. So we'll report on the game tomorrow and also have Jay Ladner to preview the upcoming tournament basketball game for the men and look forward to all of that. Thanks for listening, everybody. Dave and I back at work tonight. Be reporting on it tomorrow. Southern Miss to the top. To the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.